Lime, duh. Episode is a secret. Secret cow recording coming at you, everybody. Shh. We're not supposed to put out a podcast today. That's what they say.
Yeah.
That's what they say. They say,
yeah.
Friday night? That's not when cow podcast comes out.
Uh-huh.
No. The rules are not all anymore. Welcome to the early drop of the Winter Ball Games Extravagance. This episode is a secret. Good for you. Yeah, welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling Secret Bonus Free episode for the patrons. Tulo, the word's out. The word is out.
Oh.
The word is out. The people know.
The whisper.
Yes, the demon Finn showed up. He told everybody. He blew it. Just like Finn in real life has blown it. He blew the secret here of the Cow Podcast, but fuck it. I am Dan Black. You know my full intro, but I'm not doing it today because I'm introducing myself as my new moniker, my new nickname, my new gimmick, which is I am officially the king of content.
Ow!
All right, everybody. Everybody knows.
Ow!
That's right, everybody.
The Instagram posting, Twitter tweeting, Facebook threading,
Facebook grouping, Twitter tweeting,
podcast,
Instagram storying, Donnie Reels himself, baby. Black, the king of content. All right, now before you turn this podcast off for being incoherent, just stay because it's going to get good. But no, we are here on a very secret bonus episode, free on the main feed, to kick off. This is almost the kickoff show to the winter war games extravaganza.
Extravagance,
which is kicking off this Sunday with the War Games NXT pay-per-view. So here are the details of that. And by the way, this episode, we're going to be discussing NXT. We're going to look at the card for War Games, and we're just going to fucking talk wrestling. What do you think? Friday night, bro. You know what Friday nights are. Friday nights are for two things. Talking wrestling and ordering hot chicken. That's what I do.
And SmackDown.
Dude. Oh, yeah, and SmackDown. Friday
you got
night,
that song by any chance? We still have that?
We'll have to look. We'll have to look. You know, you can't just get everything that you want on demand here, okay?
Anyway. It happens.
So anyway, what we're talking about on Sunday, War Games, NXT, that's happening. What we're going to do here on the podcast, me and Tulo are going to be, and we'll be joined by some fun guests here and there, some people you're familiar with,
someone you idolize.
Absolutely.
The people will pop it in, but me and Tulo will be here doing, what's it, four nights of podcasting in a row. Now, here are the details of what it's going to be. This Sunday, immediately following the War Games pay-per-view, We will be recording our Patreon episode that will be available for patrons at the $5 level. And we'll be having, like we've been doing, having the accompanying Zoom call where you, as a patron, can join in. I'll post a link like I've been doing right after the pay-per-view goes off the air. Click on the link, join. And if you want to get your opinions on the show, you just throw up the cow sign and we unmute your mic and you fire away, baby. This is a great way to get – when I watch a wrestling pay-per-view, when I'm watching wrestling, why I do this podcast is you need to get off that heat steam. You know what I mean? You need to get off the steam. You're coming off a – it's almost – watching wrestling, you know, as a performer, there's almost like a stage high. It's what something I love about pro wrestling is that, like, it's almost you feel like you did something. And let me tell you, you didn't. But you feel like when you watched it, like when Sting came out on Wednesday, you're like, look at this. I signed Sting. I manifested Sting. You listen, we know you didn't. But you feel responsible. It's part of the beauty of pro wrestling.
Absolutely.
You know? Absolutely. But I'll say this about wrestling over real sports, okay? Because you guys know. You know.
Sports aren't exactly my thing, so
you know, real sports when you're like, oh, I'm part of the team, like you're really not at all part of the team.
Nah.
But in wrestling you actually do affect the storyline sometimes. So you are like the third factor of the show. Now, not you individually, you're just one member of the universe, but I mean it's arguable that when it comes to wrestling, you are 0.00001% of the cast. Right?
Correct. Sure.
But unfortunately, you guys, you don't help like Matsui hit home runs. Is Matsui still playing baseball?
Nah.
Okay. Anyway. Stupid. Okay. But here's the thing. So Sunday we'll be going live for patrons on Zoom. That'll come out also if you don't want to be part of the Zoom call. Still comes out on Patreon for you to listen to the normal way. Our reactions to War Games. And then Monday, and you listen to that, and then Monday, boom, immediately after Raw, Tulo and I and guests will be recording an episode. We'll have our within 2 hours after Raw, late night for you guys on the East Coast, late night for you people you on the West Coast also, because on the West Coast, 9 p.m. is very late for us. We'll be putting out the just a normal episode free on the main feed. With our Raw reactions, we'll also be covering SmackDown from tonight as well.
Yes.
So that'll be our Raw Correct. SmackDown for this week. And that leads up, that's the aperitif. That leads up
that's
to
only
Tuesday.
That's only Monday.
I mean, it's a full work week. We might wear suits, to be honest, because we're all fucking around. Tulo, maybe we should wear suits and talk.
I'll wear a suit. I'll do it.
I mean, but I just want to point out that my suit jacket does not fit. I put it on. I put it on for a commercial. And I think I might have booked.
Were your traps just busting through?
I'll send you the pictures. It was insane. I sent the video to my wife, and she was dying of laughter. It's like Jack the Guy in a little coat. Yeah, because Jack the Guy. I measured my chest. I measured my chest with like a tape measure, and so I keep like track of my muscle growth, you know. Mm-hmm. Whatever, fuck you. You know what I mean? By the way, I do deserve one of these.
Oh, good for you!
Yeah, I deserve that. But my chest since January has grown 3 inches.
Wow! Wow!
Yeah, baby.
That's a lot of growth.
And I asked one of my trainers. I was like, "Yo, how much is in a year," and we're talking about under a year, I was like, what's a good amount of growth for like a chest over a year? You know what I mean? For a man. This is what I asked them. They like roll their eyes at me. I'm like, what are you, I'm like, whatever. And then he's like, I don't know, like 1 inch.
Wow.
My suit. I got to buy a new fucking suit. Man. Anyway, that's why you got to support this podcast over on patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Get me a new suit.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
man.
How we do it.
Because right now I'm going to be styling and not showing you my profile in. Because on the profile, you can see I get the duck tail. You know, like the tail, like my suit, the back, it flaps up, you know? Like
your booty's too big? You probably added some inches around your fucking...
Oh, yeah. My ass is huge now. I got a golfer
squatting.
Ass. Golfer ass. Yeah.
335 four times.
I got a shelf. Oh, yeah, I did 335 today for four. I sent you guys the video as proof.
Yeah. Oof. Oh, what flavor is that?
Lime, duh. But But let's just say that's a lime dub. But also, by the way, if we're cracking stuff, it is Friday night. So, yeah.
Wow, we got there.
Grapefruit White Claw.
Fuck yeah, bro. Hold on, bro. Hold on. Hey. Ah.
Cracking a claw Friday night, baby.
Just so you know, a little insight into the – hold on.
Oh, what flavor?
Grapefruit White Claw. Duh.
Yeah, baby.
Cheers up, man.
Cheers up.
There you go. So if anybody wants to get a little insight into my house, I actually put a mini fridge next to my couch recently because, you know, that's what we do.
Oh, good for you.
So anyway, all right. So Monday night we'll be having a post-Raw episode that will cover SmackDown from Friday night before. Okay.
I'm excited.
That leads to Tuesday, which is many are calling the main event. But it's hard to, you know, there's a killer encore as well. Mm-hmm. Tuesday, we'll be watching Impact Wrestling.
Come on. Come on, baby. Live. Let's go.
With you guys, we'll be live streaming, watching Impact on the Comedians of Wrestling / Dan Black Attack YouTube channel. You can watch live with us to see Kenny Omega, who my dad called me and called him Kenny Omega. He goes, yo, Kenny Omega. So I was like, Dad, I don't know how you find ways to you mispronounce words that are not mispronounceable. I mean, yeah, I don't know how you did that. How did you take Omega and say Omega? He's like, Omega. Kenny Omega. I mean, I've been friends with Dolph Ziggler for like 5 years now. He's like, Ziegler. He's like, Ziegler. I'm like, bro, what is your deal?
Come on, man.
My favorite thing, my dad, he's the master of mispronunciations. It's honestly an art. Like, he could take this on the road. My dad, his best thing was, he goes, you ever seen Fargo? I'm like, yeah, I seen Fargo. He's like, my favorite actress isn't that. Frances McDonald. Frances McDonald. His favorite actress doesn't know her name. Frances McDormand. Frances McDonald.
Oh, Richie, man. Oh, you're the best. Man. He's probably listening to this.
Out here. Yeah. He goes, Kenny Omega. But it's so funny. My dad watches AEW, though. He doesn't watch any WWE. He will watch AEW.
Pretty cool. You know what? I would love to get Richie Black's take on Sting appearing. That would be great.
It's Friday night. Should we call him?
Yeah, give him a call.
Let's just call. All right, we'll call.
All right, live. We're doing this live. We're going to do live?
Friday. I mean, I don't want to talk about NXT. So, I mean.
Just fine. The show itself this week wasn't all that spectacular, but we get to talk about War Games.
That was a garbage go-home show for War Games, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was a little snoozy. But.
They got creamed in the ratings, too. And AEW's 931, and they got like 600 something.
Here comes Dan.
My dad. I gotta warn him. He's on the air. I don't want him to sue me. Richie. Richie, I'm recording the podcast. Yeah. You're on the podcast live.
Richie.
Yes.
Well, I want to know, how do you pronounce the AEW champion? What's his name?
I forgot already.
His first name's Kenny.
What's the first name?
Kenny.
Oh, Kenny Omega Watch.
Okay. Well, how did you say it when I called you the other day? Do you remember?
Omega? I don't know.
That's what it was. Yeah, Kenny Omega. That's what you said. Kenny Omega.
That's right.
AEW champion.
Am I live right now?
Yeah, you're live on the pod right now.
Oh, no.
What's his name?
Kenny Omega.
That was it. It was Kenny Omega. And and Richie, what did you think of AEW? Did you watch some of it? Well, you had a couple in. What did you think of the show? What you saw?
It's the greatest. I love the sucking into the McMahon family.
Ask him about Sting.
Everybody his whole life. Now he's got an owner who actually a competitive company who actually has more money than him.
Yeah. Oh, Tony Khan.
It's so much fun to watch.
You love it. Richie, what did you think of Sting showing up?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. How much money do you think they had to pay him?
I don't know. A lot of money, right? He's 61.
The money don't mean anything to that kid.
Right, Richie, you're a man who is you've been 61 years old in your lifetime. What does that feel like? Could you imagine wrestling at that age?
Wrestling at 61? No, I can't imagine wrestling at 61. One time I was videotaping a football game, and the quarterback ran into me on the sideline. And let's say I was 50. That was the worst. I felt like I was dead.
Oh, my God.
I was just laying on the ground, and they thought I was dead. And it was so painful. Oh, God. But anyhow, I recovered.
How did you see Kenny win the title? You watched?
Yeah, I happened to turn it on, and there he was.
What is he doing?
He was beating the crap out of him, the other guy. Who was the other guy?
John Moxley.
Oh, okay. I can't even say that name. Forget it.
John Moxley?
Oh, Don Moxley?
Don Moxley?
Moxley Crew?
Moxley Crew. Oh, man. Did any other thoughts about Kenny Omega before you got to go?
Well, he's the champ. That's all that counts. He's got the belt.
Okay, great.
Must be eating McMahon alive, huh? He's got some pretty good people on the other side, let's face it.
Yeah, yeah. You haven't seen any WWE lately, right?
Well, occasionally I see it. Those guys, you know, he's got some heavy players. He does have great, but little by little, every time he fires...
Does he know Roman took the vest off? Does he know?
Yeah, he hasn't seen it.
He's fun to watch. Yeah. It's great for wrestling. It's great for you guys when you have this kind of competition. It's just great.
That's true.
It's going to be more and more fun to watch.
Great. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We're going back to talking about wrestling. I wanted to hear you pronounce Kenny's name, which is, what's his name again?
Kenny Omega Watch.
The Kenny Omega Watch. All right. Like the James Bond Watch.
All right. Goodbye.
All right. Give him a, if you smell what the Rossi's kicking.
You know what the Rossi's kicking.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, Richie Blagg, everybody.
Man, I love this podcast. One of my guys.
100% one of my guys. Definitely one of my guys. He's on the right. Yeah, he's up there with it's Warrior. It's Warrior Goldberg and my dad.
Dan.
Yeah.
Did you see the message from the guy behind the scenes? He said send a picture of.
Yeah, I will. But you want me to do that now?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, yeah, might help.
Now or or later? You meant after,
no.
Right?
No. He said no.
All right. Anyway, that's behind the scenes, by the way, as we're up in the we're working a lot on the podcast, by the way. For all you guys who keep supporting us on Patreon, a bunch of you guys upped your pledges. I mean, big shout out to Filthy Phillips, by the way, who upped his patronage to fucking $100, bro.
Yo.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable, bro. Thank you, bro.
You haven't even finished saying... What
extravagance. It's too exhausting to even describe the extravagance. But we have, by the way, we're as we up the quality of the show, talking about how we put resources back to the show, we will make Cal the premier pod, the best podcast, wrestling podcast. It already is the best wrestling podcast. It's just about getting the marks to understand that what we're doing, it's not, you know, this, right, it's the right way. It is the way.
Yeah.
You know what
this
I mean?
This is the way. Yeah.
This is the way. That's right. The Mandalorian. But so, show's hard to get through. The show's hard to get through. The video game cutscenes. But anyway, so we got in the back. I was running in props. This is our first episode with the smooth operator, Phil Passapane, in the background.
Phil Passapane.
Phil
Passapane.
Phil Passapane.
Phil Passapane.
Working some tech behind the scenes. So welcome. You won't hear him. You won't hear him. But we want to give him his proper due for helping us produce the show in the new COVID era. He is the smooth
in
COVID
the
operator.
Year 2000.
Anyway, so Tuesday night, we'll be watching Impact live on our YouTube channel, hanging out. You can come hang out with us on Twitch, watch us live. We'll be going through the chat, seeing witnessing live in real time Kenny Omega bringing the AEW title to another company, fulfilling the legacy, what CM Punk pretended he was going to do. Kenny is actually doing it. Unbelievable.
Tell all your fucking friends that there's only one place to be Tuesday night, and that's on Dan Black Attack's YouTube channel, because we're gonna be going nuts. If you want to see two people marking the fuck out, that's where you want to be.
Right. And then you're going to be like, wow, that was a great time. And then you're going to be like, I can't handle anymore until, oh, my God. Yeah. Squawk, bagawk, it's time for us to handle Wednesday night when the normal podcast normally comes out. We'll be recording that post-AEW Dynamite to hear the Stinger speak. Justice Sting. Justice Sting. So, and that will end the Winter War Games extravaganza for next week. So tons of content. And what we ask for you guys is that if you like what we're doing, you like the up in quantity, you dig it all, patreon.com/comedianswrestling. We are independent artists. I would like nothing more than to keep plugging all that shit. I don't like doing it. But, man, what I like more than anything is being independently produced and making this show the way we do it, baby. Wayne's World style.
5, 4, 3. Also, support it. So, like, after this week, after Phil wants to kill us, we can actually, like, give him money. Because Phil came on board at the craziest fucking time ever. But he was like, I'm all in. So, you know what? Listen, man, we're going to need it. It's going to be crazy,
but because of me.
But yeah, man, I'm hyped. It's gonna be crazy. Wednesday we'll have live reactions after AEW. It's be pretty much recapping the entire Winter War Games extravaganza.
Winter War Games extravaganza.
I mean, what a week of wrestling!
I will say this about the episode of NXT Dynamite, which is what I call their Wednesday night show, which they don't even want to give it a name. I will say. Ball games. four men, another four men. You know what that means. Ball games. I mean, that getting through this NXT show was not easy for me. That being said, you know
what's going on? Are we reading the eulogy for Undisputed Era? Like, I feel like they're carrying. I feel like they're carrying out their own coffin. They're just getting put out the pasture, right?
Yeah, I mean,
at the hands of Pat McAfee. We're just going to end on this Undisputed Era. Is like,
I mean, yeah, these done, guys. Right? Just, I don't know. They were eating fries and like being like, "Hey guys, let's kick some ass, dude." I don't know. Look, here's what I'd say: is like, you know. Listen, NXT is not one of my guys right now. Listen, don't count anything out in wrestling, okay?
War Games is going to be sick.
War Games will be cool, but it'll be cool for me in the same way that those Survivor Series matches were good, right? Those 5-on-5s. Like, it's not these matches I don't care about. Like, first off, Pat McAfee. Listen, let's talk about Pat McAfee for a second. Nothing but respect for the dude, in my opinion. Like, the fact that he's able to come in there and do it, like, I'm jealous. I'm open about that. I'm jealous. He's doing what I would love to do. He's exactly copying what I would love to do. I think I would do it better, you know, and that it just is what it is. But ultimately, he's not trained the way I am. I actually have, like, acting training and stuff. But and that really ties in because Pat McAfee, right now, when I watch him, I see a guy pretending to be a pro wrestler. I'm not seeing, like, a guy starting a feud. I'm seeing a guy who's, like, I'm watching a Make-A-Wish for a guy. And, like, that's how it feels. So it's like, to be honest, it's sinking the ship. It's like weakest link. Like, yeah, he's great at promo, but, like, he's hanging out with a bunch of dudes who I don't care about, including Pete Dunne, which I know is a hot take. Pete Dunne looks awesome, but, like, you got to sell yourself, man. Like, you got to get on the mic Or yeah, you have to have somebody speak directly for you to show us why this is like Pete Dunne 2.0. I see you're Jack, but like, what is your deal? His deal is a little confusing. It used to be he used to bruiserweight, and he would hold the title in his teeth, and you kind of had this like lone wolf vibe to him or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even love it then either, but I understood it more. Now he's just a guy who doesn't say anything. He's supposed to be really scary, but he's fucking tinier than McAfee. So it's like, that's his muscle, the guy who's way smaller than him?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that McAfee is actually in the match. Like, I understand, and he's probably going to do a great job. Like, but I think this would have been better served as, or maybe they might swerve us. Maybe we'll get work. Because honestly, it's a great moment for them to be like, listen, Pat, you did a great job, but we're bringing in a big gun. And it's like, Walter or someone like some, I don't fucking know, someone crazy, maybe someone from the main roster, I don't care, but like
I just have a lot to say about NXT as a product. Like for you, like I'll always agree with you, it's a way better produced product than NXT in terms of they have like the WWE team, but also I would say that is not necessarily to its benefit. What AEW sloppiness is to its benefit for me. I know someone might disagree, but it's sloppiness because it feels like the underdog, even though, even you just heard my dad say, Tony Khan has more money than, you know, so but not that he's going to spend out of his own pocket. You know, I'm sure he does, but not that that's what his business model would be. But, like, it does feel like they're successfully bringing indie wrestling to a television audience. NXT, on the other hand, feels like main event right now for me. Like, NXT, when I watch it, I'm like, this is, like, produced in a way that, like, makes – we used to say this in improv, right? There was this UCB theater, right, where I used to perform. And I know we hit you with the improv stuff, but it is a perfect metaphor. And it's the reason that I'm friends with some wrestlers is because they connect with the improv community, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It's like I performed at this place called Upright Citizens Brigade. Great, great theater. It's literally the basement of a Gristini's, okay?
Where we bought $334 worth of LaCroix for fucking Calmania once.
Yeah. I mean, I did that just to be a display. And also, we did, by the way, at Calmania 1, did have a full cooler. You could grab a LaCroix. Anybody. Free LaCroix, right? It was a great time.
Yeah, we're tossing them out. and then use the leftover ones at the tailgate.
Doesn't that feel like a fever dream?
Doesn't even feel real.
It was too good to be true. It was such a fucking good time. Oh, yeah. Man. And 2020's made that even feel like more special somehow, right? You know,
for sure.
Because of like the ease of travel. Like we all came from so many different places to be there. Like no cares. Like no one was like, there was no barriers. Like fuck it, I'll just go to fucking whatever. I'll fly to New York, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what was my point? We're talking about LaCroix. Okay. UCB. It's literally the basement of a grocery store. But when you go down there, you're literally – some of the seats were broken. You'd sit on it, and it would bend. It would be like a theater seat. Whoa. It would bend all the way down, and you'd be sitting down at an angle. Some of the seats, they took out the seat, and it was – literally, you'd sit on a milk crate, okay? That's what it was. But the shows, your expectations were low because of that, and then all of a sudden – you're like, that was the fucking funniest show I ever saw down here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it was like, it was the talent. It was all about the talent. Okay. And then sometimes, by the way, because the place, the quality was so high, you'd go to a show, pay $5, you're like, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then Amy Poehler walks out. You're like, holy shit. That was what it was, okay? So your expectations are managed by it. There's another improv theater called The Pit where when I was in New York, every show sucked. It was a lesser good. The quality was less, I think. And it was more of a stage for hire. But they had a gorgeous theater. They had ushers wearing ties, red shirts. Their branding was like completely on point. You'd go in. It was way more professional, right? But their shows were whack. And as a matter of fact, the production value, made you have higher expectations for what it is. So what I'm saying is that how that translates to wrestling is that NXT has all this like high production value, you know, and it's like it's moved seamlessly, has like all this great camera work, but it exposes how amateur a lot of it feels. For me. Now, not all of it. There's something that's really good, but I'll give examples of what I'm talking about. But like when you, for me, what I'll always like more is watching of these two products, by the way, because main roster is a whole other thing. I want to see The Fiend produced to the max. You know, I want Randy perfectly lit, right? But what I'm talking about in AEW, if you watch it and you're like, what's going on with this thing, blah, 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 and then you see a six-man spot that is like, I cannot believe these guys are alive. Like, remember the spot where it's like Luchasaurus, the Young Bucks, both on side of them, right? And they did a Canadian Destroyer over.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Right? And you're like, oh, my God. I'll watch that on a webcam and like that more than a perfectly produced match of like Jake Atlas versus Donnie Fugazi. You know, like, so, I mean, that's what I'm saying about wrestlers I don't care about personally, you know? So that's kind of my argument. Now, also, it's like Shotzi, okay? I love Shotzi. She's awesome, you know? She had a moment. It was like, cool. They're like, oh, we're making, they had this awesome vignette that was like, we're making this thing for War Games. I don't know what they're making. Like, kind of like, I'm not sure what it is. They almost pulled like a Tarantino-esque, like Pulp Fiction, like light in the briefcase kind of a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you like open it up and then it's a glow and you're like, we don't know what it is. But like Shotzi's acting was not correct in that moment. Like they did not work with her enough to get her in this amazingly produced segment to be like, she's like, oh, I think I'm in love. And I'm like, that's the take you got of that? Like you don't have her like really selling that like she's seeing some kind of instrument of destruction, you know? And that's what I see of NXT. I see an amazingly produced talent with very, very, very green talent. Not all of them. There's guys like Ciampa, but these guys, you know, there's guys like Ciampa here and there, but that's the thing with it is that you're watching this. It's like Gargano. Well, it's like the
but
segment.
That's what it is.
Gargano is terrible on commentary. He's like, it's like watching a kids show. Like he's like, oh, I hate this guy. Like, well, like this is not good. It's just that, sorry.
Well, I think it is good for what it is, you know. I think that was you're right, man. You good? Take a couple breaths.
I podcast so much this week, I'm out of breath.
No, well, what? I mean, we're about to go in like the Winter War Games extravagance, and you're gonna rant about NXT and you're start tapping out. I got thrown in the towel already.
I know how to hype myself up, but I need to get the sound drop that hypes me up. I need the old Dean Ambrose motorcycle rev to get me back. I need that. Damn it.
Ba-da-da.
I'm back. I'm all just ready. I need to be revved up. Tulo, so do you think that I'm off? I'll take that. I'll take it if you think I'm off.
Well, I don't think there's a couple things. I think when NXT was at its best, it was obviously when it was Full Sail, they had their crowd. You come in, it was less of a produced show. It was more sick matches. You know, you were getting like
it was Full Sail heat. You could be Full Sail heat, like completely totally not even fully developed.
And the
someone like all of you guys have what's her name as one of your guys, the Queen of Spades, the whatever her
Shayna
name
Baszler.
Is. Shayna Baszler. She's like all of one of your guys, and she stinks. I mean, like you think she was the best wrestler ever if you saw her. I called out Full Sail heat. The shit was fucking real. Okay.
Well, I mean, I think that also you could say the same thing about AEW, where the people that aren't on the top tier there who have the experience would be getting AEW heat as well. Because when AEW has a live crowd, an Orange Cassidy is the coolest fucking thing in the world. But guess what? I've seen Orange Cassidy live at places, and Orange Cassidy is a huge, huge star. Yeah. When he is performing in front of thousands of people or even 100 people in the right setting in a gym,
That's true.
So he's
a heat magnet. There's no question.
And this is a guy that, you know, he's about to be in another big match Wednesday. He'll come out looking good because MJF is there and MJF is a pro, but like, and he can succeed without a live crowd, you know? So I think on both sides, it's apparent.
Well, MJF doesn't really put on great matches, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's a heel. He wrestles. He's just he gets it. He wrestles like a heel.
Right.
He knows how to wrestle. He's a hell of a wrestler, but he also wrestles like he's kind of like.
Have you seen him do anything? Like, I don't even remember any MJF spots or like.
Yeah,
the only moments I remember are the finishes of his matches. That's it.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it is. A lot of it's like the acting and the heel work, you know, that you're really focused on. But yeah, so I think where, so if AEW didn't have Jericho, and I mean, yeah, you can even look at the Bucks, like, I mean, they show their green side, and it's like, man,
bro,
this is not
that. Bro,
you gotta
take those glasses off. You look way too much like Weekend at Bernie's. I mean, it's so distracting. You look, yo, Pesapati, smooth operator. Does he look like Weekend at Bernie's? Does he look like Bernie to you? Or is it just me?
100%.
I mean, you blame me? I know I'm interrupting it, but it's Friday night. It's distracting.
Isn't the gif like him holding like the drink and he's like sitting in the chair, like he's got his like legs up, right? And he's like,
I mean,
like
you
this,
look like, almost
he's,
exactly
he's,
like him.
And he's like dead on the thing. He's like, and the guy, they're like controlling his arm with the.
Yeah. We play the song. Like, what? So wait. What song makes you dance? Oh, all right. You're Weekend. All right. Be dead. Okay.
This is very I'm going to take my headset off.
Yeah. Be dead. Be dead for a sec.
I got on. Oh, I got it. Go.
Okay. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're dead right now. And it's like, but luckily there is a way to bring you back to life.
H2. The last of the true hybrids.
Angelico, we got a bird. I mean, I gotta tell you, this Angelico's dance is—it's first off, you called it out for annoying you, but you didn't realize you were getting worked. It's great heat, and then which is beautiful. I love that. This is one of my favorite things. And that the Angelico dance is making me almost make him one of my guys.
Yeah. Yo, did you see? I think John Silva posted
his Lucha Underground jump.
No, it's like an 8.5 minute edit of just him dancing. To entering to the song the whole entire time, like of all of his entrances in AEW history, it's on the Facebook group where we talk about wrestling.
Guy might be one of my guys. Oh yeah, man, dude. That was one of the funniest moments in cow history. The fucking Angelico Weekend at Bernie's. Yo, Pesapati, were you laughing at that?
yeah, I was.
I think I feel like I nailed it too. Like I like came alive at the perfect time.
Oh
man. Woo!
Woo!
Oh, good for you.
Beautiful. Yeah. So anyway, we were talking about NXT and I cut you off entirely bit.
I think you're right. And it's the same way I rant about AEW, where I see the thing. I think AEW should be bigger than what it is. So like when they're doing all that other shit, and they're making their show not that great, I think it really, for me, as I watch show, it gets me less excited for the bigger things that happen, you know? So, like, where you're like, ah, you're like ramped up. You get like a boner every time the Bucks come on. And I'm like, because those are your guys. But like, for me, I'm expecting,
I love the Bucks.
When they're on TV, I'm expecting big things. Like, my expectations of the Bucks are the best tag team in the world. Well, then you have to have it on all levels. And if you're not that comfortable with being on TV, it's going to show.
Pesapati.
Put it really close to the screen.
Yo, you know what? I got to say, Pesapati is his first episode producing. And he's already done a better job than a notion 4 years. when a notion produces podcast, he'd be watching hockey. Oh, man. Anyway, you look just like Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, dude.
Unbelievable. You have some kind of face where you can just look like anybody else. Yeah, anybody. I mean, look, we're talking about this is Friday night talk. This is Friday night wrestling talk, baby. But, like, The thing is this, is that.
Well, here's let me.
I have a really hot take.
Let me talk about NXT here for a while. And I'll
mute myself for a second. Okay.
All right, go ahead. So NXT needs to find a new creative way. I mean, the show looks awesome. They're tough guy alley, like you've always said, and they're really showing that more. But like. Honestly, I think the problem that happened with NXT was the guys that were supposed to go up who said, no, this is our NXT, we're staying here, are now just kind of like the Garganos and the Ciampas.
And Cole.
And the Undisputed Era.
Yeah.
Like
they missed their moment. They missed their moment.
Now it's just like, I've seen enough of these guys.
Not to mention they also did come up, remember?
But that's
they
less,
came
that's
up
less,
for a second.
But this is less about them. Right, exactly. And when they came up, they all kind of pretty much shined. I mean, you didn't really like what Ciampa did, but like they all really had that a really great moment when they were up on the main stage too, and people were hyped for it. But like, I don't know what they're going to – I mean, this War Game is going to be interesting. I mean, it would be great if Undisputed All came up and went to Raw and started that feud with McIntyre, you know? I'm all hyped for that. But like, it's kind of like – like, the rest of this War Games card, like Cameron Grimes versus Dexter Lumis in a strap match, I mean, I don't think that's a smart match on that. I think they have a lot of talent. I mean, the
Triple Threat. Who gives a shit?
They're doing this fun angle with Leon Ruff. Well, Leon Ruff. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, the Scream, the Ghostface guys. Like, who could those be? Maybe they're giving Gargano a tag team, but who knows? I mean, like.
Well, I'll say something. This is – okay, you just brought up my hot take. But also, I have a – you said Leon Ruff. I love the Leon Ruff thing. Leon Ruff, this is an amazing way to get him over. I think he's going to retain the belt at War Games, and I'm going to love that. It's a great way to push this guy. He's fucking talented, but he's smaller, you know, and he's less of a name, and they need new talent. They need new talent that matters, so get him over. The guy's fucking cool. I like him, and he's kind of funny. But what I'll say is this. My hot take is that Triple H cannot do any kind of creative, any creative that is not tough guy mentality. It's not like German crosses. That's the only thing he knows how to do. And so literally he's like, I'm going to do something that's like, I'm going to do something like kind of spooky storyline. And he can only think of Scream Masks, which is like the most dated reference. It's corny. It's like not cool.
Yeah. And they're not going to turn Scream Masks into something like Sting returning. It's, they're turning like winter is coming, you know, like it's just going to be take the masks off and it's going to be two guys that are helping Gargano, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
I kind of dig what Cameron Grimes is doing. The Pat Patterson tribute was amazing at the top of the show. I thought they did a great job.
Yeah. Really nice.
Him singing My Way. I was like, I've seen him sing that in karaoke. And then they had shots of him singing karaoke. I thought that was great. All of them standing there like that stuff. That's great. Just to see like Sean, you know, like all them stand there before the show. That's great. That's something WWE always nails, you know?
Yeah.
I almost put that under production value, which is what they always nail. But I thought that was a fitting tribute. I love that. But, it's, you know, I would summarize NXT up by Ember Moon. Like, she's the epitome of why that show does not work for me. It's like, she's an example. It's like, all frosting, no cake. Like, her outfit's fucking cool. She looks awesome. She could go in ring. But then you're like, wait, what's in Ember? I've saying it for years. They've never tried to define her. They even rebranded her into something that is just a lateral move of nonsensical.
Well, why does that bother you so much? But then you watch AEW and it's just like, that doesn't even cross your mind.
I give shit to like Luchasaurus. But here's my point about AEW that I love. Is that in AEW, I feel like, let's put it in perspective for you. He's a huge man. Kenny Omega. Mm. We were talking about how he's not living up to his hype, right? That was the thing we talked about for a year. Obviously, now we're in a new zone. There was a paradigm shift. and a literal paradigm shift and figurative paradigm shift. And I'm like, you know what? If Kenny Omega doesn't live up to his hype, let's say he kept on that same path, it bothers me so much less because I'm like, at least Kenny is doing what his vision for his career is. You know? Mm-hmm. That's my beef, is that, like, as I see all these great talents, because NXT has all these great talents, and I'm like, man, they're all doing such uninteresting shit. It's like, oh, they're just actors on the show. And as wrestling becomes more and more, I see this alternative product where they're less and less of being they're less and less of just being actors, and they're treated like artists and like almost like clowns, like characters in a positive way. I have friends who have a lot of clowning experience, you know. I haven't watched it, by the way. Check out Natalie Palamides' special, Nate, that's on Netflix. I haven't seen it yet, but like she's I used to coach her at improv. I see her around, like she's a really talented person. She's like very trained in clowning, you know. So I mean it in that way, like where you really work on your character. I'm like, I can appreciate that over in AEW, even when they're failing. Even Miro, who's a major letdown to me, and I think Vince put him in a correct direction, and now he's putting himself in the wrong direction in terms of wrestling. He'll probably make money on Twitch and whatnot, so he's probably ahead of the curve in some ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least I'm like, he's executing what he wants to do. It's not good. It's not what I want to see, but he's not wasting years boxed into being Stardust. If it was up to Vince McMahon and it was up to WWE, Cody Rhodes would still be Stardust. Think of all the stuff he's done in the past 5 years from being out of the clutches. They couldn't figure out how to get a guy with the Rhodes last name over. So I do give them more of the benefit of the doubt, you know? So when I'm watching NXT, I see a lot of money, production, fine. You guys want to control these guys to this high degree? Cool. Show me something good. Jake Atlas, what are they doing with him? I don't know what Jake Atlas is. I don't know. He's a good wrestler, but what is he? He's very talented. I like him. He's a California guy, so I'm rooting for him. I've seen him wrestle out of here, you know?
Yeah.
What? It was all very uninteresting use of TV time. And they're going after Cruiserweight title, which who gives a shit about the Cruiserweight title?
People do. Who? They've done a lot with
Yo,
it.
Yo, Pesapon, smooth operator. You care about the Cruiserweight title?
No, he don't care about the Cruiserweight title.
0%.
Wait, Phil, what'd you say?
0%.
Correct. So I'm saying it's like... like I'm watching the show, and I'm watching a show that's really well produced about a bunch of shit I don't care about. And a lot of TV shows are like that. A lot of TV shows. I'm watching Kaley Cuoco's show, The Flight Attendant. I'm watching on HBO Max. Really nicely done show. I mean, they have some really cool stuff where she, like, there's a dead guy. She talks to the dead guy, like, when she's trying to, like, in her mind, he's in her mind, and they talk, and they're kind of having, like, a romance. Really cool, really cool. I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, this show stinks. It looks really good. I mean, the scripts are dog shit. So it's totally all over the place. It's like a murder, but she's making little jokes. And you're like, what is happening? The show stinks. And so that's, yeah. Anyway, Pat McAfee, they're letting him do a make-a-wish at the expense of their show. I almost prefer what Triple H is doing is he's panicking. And he's trying to make his show more interesting. And he doesn't know how to.
What he should do is make the show
even more New Japan-y. If I was NXT, yeah. I would make the show more tournament-based, more structure. That's what I would do because it's the only thing he knows how to do.
Yeah, I would even say that it almost seems like Triple H is becoming the cool dad now.
Right.
He's like the cool dad around. Like, oh, yeah, Triple H is our dad. You know, like, oh, he's so – oh, take a picture with dad. He's like, oh, so cool. Look at it. We do the point thing, and he's got all of his, and he's having so much fun. He's got Halloween Havoc, and he's doing this, and he's doing that, and he's having all, and but like, dude, like, yo, make your show badass. You're a badass dude. Guess what's coming? I'm gonna tell you what it is, and you're gonna jump into traffic. But TikTok, baby, guess who's back? And one of the big reasons the other reason. Well, let me tell you something why.
Pesapati, how much do you care about – did you like Karrion Kross? Was Karrion Kross good?
I kind of loved him at the beginning, but he's fallen off hard for me. I mean, right before he got injured, I really didn't care about him at all. I was excited for him to come in, though.
Actually, I have a clip from you from earlier in the night, actually.
Who gives a shit?
So here's the thing. The NXT Men's Championship has not been relevant for like 6 months. They put it on Keith Lee. They took it off Keith Lee to put it on Karrion Kross. They put it on Karrion Kross. Then they had to vacate the title, find a new champion. They put it on Finn Balor. He's been injured. So there's nothing really to fight for right now because they didn't want to take the title off Finn because they want him as champion. He misses War Games. We don't get a men's championship match. We're not getting a North America. Oh, we are. Again, we're getting triple threat. The tag team titles are tied up in the War Games. So it's like, what's going on with NXT right now?
If it wasn't
for the women's division, you know, I haven't always hated War Games. You've always watched it. You've always enjoyed it.
I was at War Games live. And so honestly, I have a recording of my inner monologue from when I was there.
Who gives a shit?
It was Ricochet pretending to be a Viking. I was like, what is this match? It was cool. He did a flip off it, but like, what's the War Games? Is like, it's like, oh, you guys have beef with each other. We'll put you in War Games, but like, it's so like convenient.
Yeah, that's the War Games team.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing as Survivor Series. It's the same exact thing.
That's the point part where WWE is really
great
missing.
Frosting, beautiful frosting, no cake.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you once
is there any story off. For if you had a story for why Ricochet was so fucking pissed off at these guys and he had an opportunity to jump on all them, like he turns away from the pin, he's like, I fucking hate these guys, I gotta jump on them, but instead he's dressed like Rufio or whatever, and then I'm like, oh, that was a really cool flip. Like, I'm glad I'm here. You know, like, that's what I'm saying. And Shep said it right. But NXT, the thing, and don't worry, NXT has nailed stuff in the past. But, like, the stuff that the guys they've nailed, like, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens was the best NXT wrestler of all time, Shep said. And I think it's probably true. Because he did stuff, his relationship with Zayn when he powerbombed him after he won. Remember the title?
Oh, dude, insane.
That shit was sick. And then Aleister Black's another arguable guy for me. But Aleister Black just never came to fruition. Like, I don't know who to blame because I don't know him either. But I don't know who to blame for Aleister Black. But man, oh man, it's like sad. It makes me sad. You know?
Well, honestly, a lot of the big talent is gone now, right? And any of the big talent that they have there has been there too long. So I think NXT is now in an identity crisis where they've broken out of the developmental, and it almost seems like they're going back to it a little bit. They're going to have it's like Thatcher's a coach, and he's got these recruits that are coming up, and those guys are like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like what they need to like almost hit a reset button and be like, all right, if we're not going to have any involvement with Raw and SmackDown, then we need to go back to what we're best at, you know, like, and we need to figure out that because the arena there is so badass. Like those, that fencing and it's like a mini Thunderdome. I'm like, this is where the best wrestling in the world should be taking place. Like they need to go back to their roots. They need to get the big stars down there because they've lost all their star power and they're competing with a show that has a ton of star power and just keeps getting more star power like Sting. And it's not
Japan AEW NXT at this point. That's officially, even though we've said it for a while, it's officially a dead comparison. The only reason to compare them is because NXT's decided to be on the same time. Like if somebody says they're like, I watch NXT over AEW, you're like, I get it. That's your gimmick. I'm like, let me know all the things. Did you liked the Superman versus Batman movie? Let me guess. I can point out all the things that you also liked. You thought the prequels were really good. Like I could sum you up as a person if you're like that NXT show is way better than AEW. Like, come on, man. It's just not even true.
For a good amount of time, there was points where it was, you know, like honestly, when NXT is good and it's rolling, it's the best. I mean, honestly, if it wasn't for the women's division right now, NXT would be having a really big problem. If NXT had the same problem that AEW has with the women's division, I probably wouldn't honestly be tuning in or have a care for it because they're not building big enough stars over there. Right. And any big enough stars that they have are gone. The Riddles, the Keith Lees. Like those are all guys that should be on Raw and SmackDown.
Adam Cole, about Adam Cole, I would say because wasn't his contract coming up? or he resigned?
Dan. What? Remember we talked about this and we said I think he's 100% gone. I think when
I never thought he was until I really think this week. But didn't his contract, Phil, can we look that up? What's going on with Cole's contract?
Great. Finn Balor's too. I want all Bullet Club.
If I'm Finn, I'm gone. If I'm Cole, I'm gone. Like I'm gone. These guys have a couple years left. The thing about Finn is Finn's not that good. I got news for everybody.
God, Adam Cole's here.
All right, let's go.
All right. This is from June 2020. Despite rumors of this is a Bleacher Report, not the most dirty of sheets. Despite rumors of his contract expiring soon, Mike Johnson of PW Insider reported the leader of the Undisputed Era is under contract for well over the next 18 months.
Wow. How recent was
that? That was June.
Wow.
So that's really interesting because Adam Cole, I don't know what Adam Cole's contract looks like, but Adam Cole, unless they bump him up for big money, I think he would make more money at AEW because he would sell so much merch.
Yeah.
So much merch. Right now, he's making a smidge of the he's splitting all the money with the Undisputed Era for his merch, right? And Vince takes probably 80 to 90%. He probably gets 5%. And then 5% split. They probably get 1% each of every Undisputed Era shirt sold, right? He could go on Pro Wrestling Tees, instantly have the number one shirt, and sell. Like, Cole's huge by going over there. His girlfriend's over there, or I don't know, his fiance. I don't know if they're engaged, or his wife, or whatever. And also, he's a big gaming guy. His Twitch channel's going to be removed. He feels like a guy like, I did not say this. And I still think, by the way, gun to the head, he stays in WWE. But if I'm him, I say to them, I don't want to stay in NXT anymore. And I think we're going to see the exodus. I think we're going to see the exodus of NXT talent when their contract's coming up, thinking about like being on this show, because we know NXT doesn't pay that much, you know? And if you're AEW talent and you could make so much money, more money on Twitch and, you can see Adam Cole doing a little Shawn Michaels photo shoot, you know? Adult fans having OnlyFans. Adam Cole, OnlyFans.
Easy.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm saying, like, I don't know. I bet some of these guys will make more money. Listen. Cody Rhodes said when Cody left WWE, and he was there for a long time, since he was probably 19 years old, he said he was making more money on the indies. And no one gave shit about Cody when he was in WWE.
Sure.
Even a star.
All right. So you're a little jazzed up, really hyped, a lot of big things going on. You need to take a deep breath and understand that Sunday is War Games, okay? You don't give a shit about it. But anytime I've ever watched it, I've always enjoyed it. And I think it's going to be awesome. I think the women obviously are anchoring that. I think there's a possibility of some cool shit maybe happening with Undisputed Era. Right. I think it's a perfect opportunity that if he has a year left on his contract, well, you better fucking give him the push of the century up on the main roster. Fuck it. If I was going to book it, have Adam Cole win the Royal Rumble and go after Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania. I don't fucking know. Like, whatever.
Adam Cole, the Undisputed Era missed their moment to come up to the main roster.
Yeah, big time.
They missed the moment. Well, they had an awesome moment there. They missed it. Well, so then they have to rebrand, making Undisputed Era cool again, which means becoming heels again. Right, so now they'll come in as baby faces,
which is also really hard to do.
You're running into
it. They lose a lot of their pizzazz not having a live crowd.
Adam Cole ceiling on his career in WWE comes down to his size. He was the NXT champion, going into Survivor Series last year, and they didn't put him up against Brock. They didn't put him in those matches. So, what you think Vince feels comfortable putting him in these big spots? You think we see Adam Cole? Versus, we haven't seen Randy Orton. I'm saying we've seen no confidence in WWE when it comes to Adam Cole. So I don't know. I have a hard time seeing that Vince is all in on him. And right now, if he went to AEW, he would get a big paycheck from Tony Khan. Mm. He could boost his career even more, and he would be the heavyweight champion instantly, right? Maybe not instantly, but like he's immediately top guy, right? Immediate in the top.
Yeah, I mean,
interesting. I don't think he's going to do it. I'm just saying, like, it's kind of interesting.
There's a listen, NXT. It feels like you're reading fucking NXT's eulogy just because AEW had a really stellar fucking week, dude. All right,
take a deep breath. It's kind of fun though, right?
NXT, for you, it is. I mean, for me, it's not because I love NXT. NXT is something that I think is still a great product. And rest in peace. But yeah, so like, listen, I think after War Games, they got to refocus. I mean, and they gotta come up with something because I think by the time the Rumble comes around, NXT is gonna lose another wave of superstars. I mean, what's there left for Ciampa to do in NXT? What's there left for Gargano to do in NXT?
Ciampa, man, come on, dude. Ciampa, I mean, like, it's time, man.
The Thatcher versus Thatcher is just underwhelming, and it should be something that's pretty awesome. It honestly made me feel less about Thatcher the way he bitched out to fucking Ciampa, and I'm like, yo, Thatcher's the man. You're gonna have him tapping out to Kushida, and then that, which makes no sense. You tap out to Kushida, but then that gets you a match at War Games against Ciampa, like, because I don't know. It got a little sloppy there. I mean,
so Kushida, we never hear Kushida say anything. He has no manager. He wears jeans to wrestle, and they're like, they're trying to sell me that Kushida is like, I'm gonna care about Kushida versus Finn. I'm not. I'm sorry, I'm not. Like, I mean, Kushida to me is the one of the most cosplayiest cosplayers out there. Marty McFly, cosplay is, I don't know, about as bad as it gets. Right.
Listen, Kushida's also a guy that doesn't even make sense for him to go to AEW. He'll go back to Japan and he'll do his thing over there. Like, his stuff worked really well.
They're pushing
him
a heavyweight. I mean, he'll probably lose to Finn, but so anyway, here's the thing about Finn. Here's the other thing about Finn. Finn has never been one of my guys. He's an almost talent in my mind. He's never delivered. Never. Tell me one time where Finn – I'm not saying he's had any good matches, but when is a time where Finn has really, like, risen to the occasion of Finn Balor? Like, to be Finn Balor?
When he wrestled Brock?
You mean when he got tapped out by Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, but that match was fucking awesome, though.
Yeah, but he didn't rise to the occasion.
His NXT run and everything he did was like he was the talk of the town, man. When he was fucking,
I never
NXT
dug
champ.
It. The demon, I was always like, what is this? It makes no sense. Why call it the demon? Like, just don't acknowledge the paint. He wears paint in pay per views. If you can't act and you can't sell me, look what Bray Wyatt is doing. It makes Finn's demon look like the dumbest thing I ever seen. You know, so like I'm saying, listen, it's hard to do. With all credit to Finn, like it, pulling that off, but he didn't even try. And then I'm rewatching his promo from last week, and I was like, oh my god, he's like, I can't even remember. He's like, when the cat's out to play, it was an all cat thing. It's like, what the fuck? You're trying to say this cat thing, badass? Like,
and
the cat is back.
And he also brought.
What was the promo? Phil, do you remember what it was? The cat promo?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's fair.
He doesn't even watch NXT.
I haven't watched NXT in like a month.
Why?
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Yo, is this what you did? You just brought Phil on just to have a fucking
balls.
Just to have a fucking man in the fucking in the chamber, just to fucking.
Well, like the thing is that here's what they can do. I think NXT, the way for NXT to matter again, because NXT is great. They're just misguided right now, and I actually think it's the fault. I believe this is that it is the disconnect between Vince and Triple H. Right.
Oh, yeah, it's so obvious.
The branding of NXT needs to be so much more apparent.
It just makes they completely cut their balls off when they didn't include them in Survivor Series.
It's like castrated. They cut the Vince cut the fucking anchor, and they're just been floating slowly out to sea. right?
That fucking Triple H saved his ass when they got stuck in Saudi Arabia, all right? He saved his ass. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to show you that we could come up here and do it. And even though it was in storyline, it was real, dude. They literally came up that weekend, and that was the most hyped because at that time, NXT was firing on
yeah, SmackDown all cylinders. Ratings were like through the roof.
Yeah, and I was like, man, this is awesome.
You were saying.
That whole Survivor Series was awesome because it made kind of sense because it was the three brands competing against each other. Like for brand, like I get it, like that's never, but like Raw and SmackDown by themselves is making sense. But the young guys or the other brand is here and they're here to show stuff. Like, make it matter. You know, like I think that's what we always talk about. These War Games matches, they shouldn't matter. Like
War Games.
War Games. Listen, we're going to watch it. It's going to deliver. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. Dude, was it War Games when Cole fell, when Ciampa, like, they jumped from the top?
Oh, yeah. That was crazy. War Games?
Yeah, that was awesome. But, man, I'll give Tony Shadman credit. Like, he pointed out, he's like, oh, War Games, like, the thing Undisputed does every year this time. You're like, oh, that's a good point. They also lost. They let Undisputed Era lose to a hodgepodge of people. Like, you're like, what is the point of this? These guys, as a group, can't beat, like, a couple guys thrown together. Two Vikings and a cool fucking black guy, like, flips. like you're like, those guys are more cohesive than these guys who eat fries together in the deli or whatever. Like, you know? That's what they're doing in the video this week, you know?
Yeah, I mean.
So, anyway, here's another thought I had. So, I'm watching the Cruiserweight, which I don't. You think is anyone like being like, oh man, I gotta see what Escobar's up to? Like, I mean, he has cool potential, but like, is anybody like buying in to him?
I mean, I guess not. No,
you're gonna say yes or no? Are you gonna say yes? You could say it. Like, are you?
I'm not. I'm buying into the potential of what he's doing and his stable. I think honestly he's doing a really good job. I think it's just underappreciated, undervalued. Like, they're not really giving him any big spots or big moments to make it seem like, first of all, this would matter more if he had the actual NXT title instead of the Cruiserweight title. So, like, having a stable and those guys should have the tag team titles then. If you put the tag team titles around those titles, then it makes more sense. It, like, makes it like, oh, wow, this stable's legit. Like, these guys are awesome. They're good wrestlers. They put on good matches. That match versus Damian Priest was awesome. I mean, the guy's super talented, but, yeah, listen, I get what you're saying, man.
Tag wrestling in WWE across the board is Jabron Zone.
I'm telling you, though, it also doesn't help that, like, they're on –
It's frustrating. I want all wrestling shows to be good. I want all these talents to be on a thing that can – a vehicle that can rise them. I feel frustrated for them that Vince is, like, cutting the balls off this brand. I'm saying, like, look at Tony Nese. I just want to give an example. Tony Nese, right? Whatever. I don't have any, like, deep opinions about Tony Nese. He's a Long Island guy, so I like that. But, like, he went from winning the Cruiserweight title at WrestleMania. He won it at WrestleMania – to jobbing out to Jake Atlas. So it's kind of like they've done nothing to make this guy look like a guy who can win at WrestleMania. Like, that's like my beef. Like, so let's talk about Bayley for a second. I always talk about Bayley. Like, I'm like, the women's division has this, and it will get fixed over time because the women's division needs more talent. It needs more time to grow. But, like, I remember when Bayley won, I'm like, wow, Bayley's a two-time WrestleMania winner of the title. Two-time Mania. And you're like, she has not hit her peak at all. And you're like, oh, okay. So now in wrestling, and that's what I was worried for Rhea, is that, like, you can reach the apex before you actually have earned it. Like, whereas Daniel Bryan got his moment, even though he did win the title, but it got shafted and pulled off him, and he didn't have, like, proper runs. He had more of a Sasha run, which did work. Sasha had more of the Daniel Bryan thing, where, like, they would never let her retain, and you're like, similar to, like, if Ziggler won the title at some point, you'd be like, finally, he's getting his proper run. You can win. CM Punk, Rey Mysterio, there's tons of examples of guys who win it, and then Vince pulls it off them really fast, and it almost hurts their career over helps. So my thing is that, like, that happens a lot in the women's division. So I'm worried about the apex of wrestling not matching up with merit, and that is unhealthy structure for wrestling. Is that like when wrestling's firing on all cylinders, you have like Daniel Bryan really capture his moment, and it feels like, man, did he earn it, you know? Yeah. And I don't think they set these guys up for those moments because they don't have enough freedom to earn it. Now, in the pandemic, you can argue it's really hard to do because you don't even have a real crowd, right?
That and also the lack of a championship title being relevant over the last, like I said, 6 months. You know, it's like there's a lot of things that go into it where they need to find ways, and they've tried to fill it, and it's not working. And also the wrestlers that they have not now gone up to the main roster. So it's like, we go through this a lot pretty often with NXT where they get gutted and then they rebound. It takes a little time to character build.
But the now problem, it's trickier.
Well, it's also happening at the worst time ever too. And it's harder to get these wrestlers over without a crowd that will help do that.
I don't blame the pandemic because AEW is thriving in the pandemic.
Well, I'm not even saying
it's equal. It's a first level of all, playing field.
They weren't. I wouldn't necessarily say. I would say recently they weren't. Up until the last couple weeks, but like there was a point where it felt like AEW was kind of like trying to find its way. But now you kind of realize, oh, it's I guess maybe like, they were just all building.
They had like kind of like three bad weeks in a row or something. Like the lulls are pretty short over there.
Listen, yeah, it happens. Yeah. And I honestly believe that NXT is going to find its way again, and it will find the way to, you know, be good. But
too, I'm saying what's trickier about it this time is not just there's no crowd. What's tricky is that it's undefined, and they are a weekly show now on TV.
And that's the big problem. And what's tricky too is that something really special is happening at the same exact time that it's happening. So for me, I'm checked out of NXT big time because the way my wrestling fandom works and my attention is when there's fucking good, cool shit going on, I want to know that first. Like, I mean, it was hard to watch NXT this week. Not gonna lie, like, you know, right. And it wasn't because of what was going on TV. It was hard for even me to turn it on, right? Because I was still so jazzed and still am so jazzed about what is happening and what's coming up, you know. So it's like, I mean, even Raw, like
on I'll main roster, also,
yeah, I'll go back and
like I mean, Roman, yeah. The Randy stuff, Drew, AJ. There's a lot of other stuff where you're like, I don't need NXT right now.
Well, it's not that I'm excited for War Games. So like Sunday, this is great. Like I definitely am excited for Sunday to watch War Games. Right. You know, like I'm not as excited as I've been for other things. I was excited for Halloween Havoc. I thought that was the way it was promoted and the shit that was going on.
The show was awesome. It was a great show.
Yeah. Right. So listen, Halloween Havoc was like a month ago, you know, so a month and a half ago. So it's not that far off. You know, I think after that they've lost their way a little. The build to War Games could have been better with bigger players, but they kind of just like, the only thing I'm really focused on Sunday the most is the women's War Game because I really thought it was put together uniquely. Two captains, they find their players. There were some turns. There were some twists. They're going to go to war. The women's are going to over deliver. They're going to do some sick shit and it's going to be really awesome. Well,
they're going to unveil whatever that machine is.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a machine. It'll probably just be like a
tank. It's going to be like a tank, right? Like a new kind of tank.
Or some like some weapon. It's gonna be a weapon that you'll be able to use like inside War Games or something. So, or it's a motor to a new tank or some. Or maybe they all come in on a tank. I'd be fucking hyped if they
Shotzi
all came in.
Shotzi is like, I really love Shotzi. She is like one of the most clarity of characters. Like she's
Triple H
like,
loves her. That's because Triple H is all in on her.
She reminds me of like she's like Wednesday Addams is like what I'd say. Like she has like a thing where you're like she like. Gets like Tom, really like excited Tom, about violence, you know?
Yeah, like a tomboy, like
well,
just
like Tank
awesome.
Girl Wednesday Addams, I would say.
She's
you know, like the Addams Family loves like they like give each other like props for hurting each other.
They've used her perfectly. Like I've never honestly seen it before. She got signed and was instantly pushed and like been a part of it the whole entire time. Is that Sheffield? Wow. What's up, Chef? So I'm excited about that match. I thought they did a really good job, and it's been fun, like the buildup and stuff. So I'm hyped for it. I think it's going to have to really – listen,
Finn's coming back after War Games. I'm sure Karrion Kross is going to be back in the picture. I think they need
I'm almost excited for him to come back. Just to
I'm more excited that Scarlett, you know, that sounds swampy, but I'm excited to see how they're going to, you know, bring her back or how she brings Karrion Kross back. I hope they don't make it the same kind of thing. I hope it has a new element to it or something different. But like, yeah, like, I'm like super, I'm excited about it. I think whenever you think NXT is losing its way, it finds a unique way to bring it back. And y'all listen, competition breeds a lot of good stuff. You know, Triple H not afraid to fucking pull out a wild card, do something crazy. If he thinks he wants to make War Games the talk of the town, he'll do something this Sunday.
He might. Listen, remember, I'm saying, remember the last mask there? He said Freddy Krueger might show up.
Yeah, that's right. Underneath those are Nev Campbell and David Arquette promoting the new Scream movie.
I said it. If Arquette is under the Scream masks, I mean, I'm all in. Arquette will be my number one NXT star. He'll be my number one NXT talent.
You know, didn't someone come out and attack on Kyle O'Reilly? It would be so funny if it was David Arquette.
Well, the Scream mask came back on in the beginning of NXT this week.
There's two of them.
Yeah, there's two, right. He was in the Damian Priest. So it's like Damian Priest, I like in theory. He's another example. Like, I like him in theory. He looks cool. He looks awesome. And that's the main thing. He looks awesome. Oh, that's like the main thing. He looks awesome. Yes. But you're like, also it's like, yeah, but like, you're just mediocre, man. Like, you're just mediocre. You're not doing anything interesting. Like, you're just playing like a tough guy. Like, you're not doing no, it's the same thing on Undisputed Era. It's like you can only in that place, you only get rewarded for like being tough and then that's it. But you're like, something that works for me is Thatcher, right? Like, Thatcher is working for me because you're like, okay, he's tough, he's badass, tap you out. But on the top of it, there's clarity of character. Like, he's this wrestling teacher, he'll tap you out. He stands for this. It's like, yeah, like, you might be able to beat him, but you can't tap him out. You're like, oh, I get this character. I see what he is. But everybody else is just like, I'm tough. Like, that's it. I'm tough. Or Cameron Grimes, where it's like so over the top. I kind of dig Cameron Grimes. He looks like, you know, it's like kind of goofy or whatever. But
yeah, I think these are real things that we're talking about. You know, I think I think War Games is going to help them stay relevant. If they didn't have War Games right now, NXT would, I'm telling you right now, next Wednesday's show would be like, the ratings would be abysmal because there'd be nothing to look forward to because everybody's, all eyes are on AEW this week. Like, and that's the truth. Like, listen, I mean, if you didn't watch Winter is Coming Live, like, man, like, that's, you got to make decisions sometimes as wrestling fans. And if you don't like AEW, that's cool, man. Like, good for you. But like, you missed Sting return, and you missed something really special happened with Omega. And if you don't like those moments because that's you don't Omega. Like AEW, Omega. Oh, right, Omega. 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 Omega.
It's Umanga.
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 So like, you know, it's, you know, it is what it is. Listen, I think.
Oh, let's go through the card a little bit. I mean, there's not that much, but just to get it going. And I agree. I actually like the women's War Games match a lot more than the men's War Game match.
And which is crazy because of where Undisputed. I mean, listen, I'm a huge.
The storytelling was kind of nice for both teams, actually.
Yeah, for sure. So we got.
Did I do that?
I don't hear it. Are you here? I'm hearing you, right? Yeah, it's you.
Pespani, is that me?
I think so. Yeah, it's not me. It's not me.
It's not me. What are you playing? Why are you playing shit. That
NXT? NXT started replaying on my computer. Oh, man. I was like, what is that? No, actually, the storytelling of both the women's teams is like the team, like, it's built around Candace. And then you had Shotzi, you had Rhea Ripley and Io Shirai go to war and then team up. And I guess, I don't know, Ember Moon showed up. But, and then Toni Storm came in and like established herself. I don't know. I don't know why I like Toni Storm so much. He's because you're attracted to her. I was like, what do you want from me? I don't know.
why you don't like Rhea Ripley and why you like Toni Storm? Yeah,
I like both of them, so it's not even true. I just see Rhea Ripley as like a big time main event player, so I'm actually putting the shine on her a little more, to be honest. But you guys are, you know, you guys are too negative to see that.
I think she's gone after this. I think she's going to Raw after this.
I mean, if I'm NXT talent, I pray to be brought up. Like, these guys need Vince. They need a little bit of Vince. A lot of them do. Yeah. A lot of them need Vince. Like Undisputed Era, for example, we talked about them for a while. I was like, all right, now's the time to like define them a little bit. And they actually were doing it. And then the pandemic hit. But like, I was like, you know, get them some motorcycles, like, right? Like, get them, like, let's have them be like, let's see what their dynamic is. Because even when you see that segment of them, like, this week, like, talking in the pizza shop, you're like, these guys seem boring here. They're like kind of boring. Like, it'd be cooler like if they had like a clubhouse they established.
You know what it felt like? You know what it felt like? Right. It felt like four guys making a pact to lose their virginity at prom. You know? It's like, you know, guys.
Well, that I would love. I wish that's what it felt
the
like.
The script of American Pie, pretty much. It's like, yo, guys, we've been doing this.
Here's the next step.
We've been at the top of our game for 4 years, and now it's time to bring it home.
Prom, and we're all gonna fuck.
Yeah, we're all gonna lose our virginity at the same time, and when we do, we're gonna go to Monday Night Raw after. Like,
I used to work out at the gym, and I would see the girl from America Pie, and I would talk to her sometimes. Really, really nice. What's her name? She was in American Beauty. Also, she's in all the American things.
Oh. What?
Mia something. I don't know.
Phil?
What?
You know that one, Phil?
Mia. What am I looking? Mira Sorvino, right?
That's Mia, Mia Sorvino? Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. The girl from American Pie. But she was. She's a woman now, and she was always cool. I don't know. We get shakes at the gym. That's just me, the little name dropping. Skyler's not the only one who can name drop. He's actually friends with these people. I just see them at gyms. let's just go through the War Games card before we get out of here, because we got to save our voices for the Winter War Games extravaganza. Timothy Thatcher versus Tommaso Ciampa. That's a little bit of a singles match, many are saying. Singles match.
I mean,
I hope they let Thatcher win. I don't.
Yeah,
Ciampa needs to beat Thatcher. What are we doing there? It's just burying Thatcher.
Maybe this is a Ciampa farewell match as well. Like, I honestly don't see how Ciampa's going to keep himself relevant on this roster anymore. Like, we've seen the best of Ciampa, and we've seen the worst of Ciampa, to be frank with you, on both sides of it in NXT. And honestly, now he's just in a weird, awkward middle ground where I got to give it to Thatcher. I think it's the only right way. I would hope that Ciampa comes up, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Ciampa, it's time for you to go, to move up. It's big time for bigger things. Dexter Lumis versus Cameron Grimes in a strap match. Like, who cares who wins that, right?
Yeah, I mean, what is that? I think they've unsuccessfully pushed both of those guys. They just had their match at Halloween Havoc. I mean, what is this match going to prove? Who won that one?
Well, Dexter Lumis is confusing because it's like, is he funny or scary? He's kind of like in between. You're like, either make him like legit scary or funny.
And his gear does nothing to help the cause. He's just in tight jeans and a tight shirt and some gloves. You know, like, I don't know.
I kind of like him, but I'm like, I don't know. Leon Ruff versus Gargano versus Priest. I'm actually legit excited about this match, and I'm like hard rooting for Ruff. Like, to their credit with this booking, which I've said I liked from the start, like, they've made me care about Leon Ruff. So this is something where they're really succeeding in NXT, in my mind.
Absolutely. And thank God Kevin Owens was around to really help that cause too, because that segment was awesome. I thought that was perfect. Would say that I'm a little worried about Gargano having his ghost face guys around, which makes me think that Gargano might cheat to win or some stupid shit. I hope they're just like a failed distraction or failed muscle kind of thing.
Candace looks awesome right now. Do you notice that? She like has her optimal look right now. She looks like really pretty and like really good wrestling.
Like
she stands out. She's popping on camera. Her hair color is good. She looks good.
I'm getting like a mini Charlotte vibe from her. Like, you know, like I'm getting like she's like got that charisma about her. I think she's really finding her own for the first time because she, you know what, she's doing a better transition of that cutesy everybody loves her. like, well, Bliss and Bayley kind of thing too. It's like she's doing a, yeah, she's finding her transition. I actually would rather it her be less attached to Johnny and just more her own stuff and creating her own, you know, character.
I like her
stuff.
Separate from Johnny, but actually, like, I don't care if they acknowledge that they're married, but like this week, everything they did was separate. And like, I like it acknowledging they're married, but like, they don't need to do everything. I don't need to see them eating pasta together, you know?
And
the Undisputed Era, I mean, I don't care who wins any of the War Games matches. Like, those are just, those are frosting matches. I hope it's really rich. That kind of like, you know, that I like that really like kind of frozen frosting. Like, I want, like, the best kind of frosting where you're like, I don't even care about eating the rest of this thing. I just want the frosting. So I hope these matches are just killer. I hope Shotzi looks really good in this match.
It's like that it's the piece of cake. You want the piece of cake with that flour thing on it, right? You want that cake. Yeah. You don't want to eat the cake that comes with the flour.
No fondant.
You just want that weird flour piece that's on the top that everybody else wants. The extra frosting, you know?
And the women's division is really interesting. Like, I think it could, Io Shirai. She could go up to the main roster.
The talent there, and they're killing it, man. These women have insane chemistry. You could tell they're all working together because all their matches are. I mean, Shotzi versus Raquel Gonzalez is a not just because of her size, but she's a huge talent. I think she's got mega potential. And honestly, she's exactly her and Rhea are exactly what the main roster needs. They need those dominant, strong forces, and they would shine so bright in that main division.
Anyway, we'll be watching the show. We'll come on after and look. Like always, guys, I went pretty tough on NXT today, but I think, you know, like, we roast the ones we love. The thing is, this is like, I want NXT to succeed. I'm excited to watch on Sunday, and on Sunday right after, when we're on the Zoom call, I'll admit, like, oh shit, I was being too hard on it. That was fucking awesome. I cared about the characters. I was completely vested in the story, you know? I'm expecting more of a frosting card, and that's fine. Let's see just some really good spots. Let's see like a nice spot fest. I'm interested. Going into these Extravaganzas, who knows? I'll come out on the other side. You know, who knows how I'll feel.
See you on the other side of War Games. That's Hamilton.
Yeah. You think I don't know Hamilton?
I know. On the other side of War Games.
See you on the other side.
I will never understand you.
Too low.
All right, let's send it off with a little Weekend at Bernie's Hybrid 2.
Oh my
for the kids.
God. All right, be dead.
Hold on.
Eliza, I should have told you. I wrote to the general a month ago. All right. Okay. Oh my God. Tulo Bernie's is dead. Tulo's dead. Let me just.
H2. It's the last of the true hybrids.
Oh, I burned it.
The Winter War Games Extravaganza!
All right, so just as a quick reminder for everybody what's going to be going down. First off, support this podcast, patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. If you dig what we're doing right now, show us. There's one way to show us, and it's honestly, I know times are tough right now, but if you can give a couple bucks to a couple independent artists, we would appreciate it on patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. Show us that we're worth your time and a little bit of cash. Patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. Sunday, we'll be watching War Games after our Patreon podcast will go on the podcast recording will go on Patreon. So that's behind the Patreon wall at the $5 level, $5 a month. That's it. Now we get you access to a bunch of content. All our podcasts next week. You can listen to every podcast next week for $5 over 1 month, which is literally cents a day. So Sunday, we'll have that. If you are in a patron, you can also join us and get live cash in on the Zoom link. Join us on link. We record. You don't have to say anything, by the way. You can just hang out. You can also hide your video, hide your microphone, just be hanging out with us. Some people do that. But if you want, you can throw up the cow sign and get your opinions in there live. Get that steam off. Monday night, we'll be recording our podcast without everybody. That'll go live on the main feed for you if you're just main roster person. You just watch Raw, SmackDown. Many would call you a traditionalist. Then we'll be talking about that. That'll come out late Monday night after Raw and SmackDown. We'll be talking about the main roster. We'll talk about Randy's feud, what's Drew up to, what's going on with Roman and KO, Drew and AJ, what's going on there, all the main heavyweight title picture there, what Bayley's up to with Bianca Belair and Carmella. I heard Carmella changed her gear color. I heard it was a nice shift. Haven't seen it yet. All the minutiae that you know and love to expect. We'll see Sasha, Carmella. Hopefully they'll face off. That'll be nice. So we'll talk about that Monday night. Tuesday, this is huge. We will be live streaming on YouTube at the Dan Black Attack / Comedians of Wrestling YouTube channel. We will be watching Impact live together. I don't know exactly the time yet, but I'll give you more details as the podcast goes. Whatever time Impact starts, we'll be watching it live.
They're on 8 to 10, I believe.
Right?
I can check that.
So 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you're in the Mountain Time, I don't know.
Phil, do we have what time? Phil, what time does Impact start? I think it's 8 on Tuesday.
That's fine. We got a bunch of pods. We can announce it then. But we'll be watching live Kenny Omega bringing the AEW title with Don Callis. We'll be following his instructions of watching on Tuesday night. And then Wednesday night after AEW Dynamite, after Sting speaks, we hear from the formerly known as the Vigilante, but now Justice Sting, according to his pro wrestling tease, which, by the way, I picked up the snapback.
Live.
Yeah. Hopefully my Sting hat will show up. Not even a Sting mark. Just when you show up with real snow and you bring winter, the show's called Winter is Coming, that, and I get worked that hard, you get a hat purchase from me. Tony Khan says, I need snow. Get me snow. Billionaire kid goes, I need snow. Go get me snow. You're getting money from me. That's how you will get money from me. So support my disgusting merch habit on patreon.com/comedianswrestling. And then Wednesday night after AEW Dynamite, we'll be coming on here live. We'll be doing the main episode. So that'll come out on the main feed.
We'll be recapping the Winter War Games extravagance.
Yes, so that'll be our last episode, and that'll come out on the main feed for free. So four episodes total, two Patreon episodes, and
free episodes.
One Patreon episode, two free episodes, and one YouTube episode.
Right, and we will be able to upload that YouTube episode as a actual.
Yes, every episode will always be in podcast form as well. So you don't, cool. I'm a podcast. I know some of you guys, like one of our listeners drives a truck. We'll still always be in podcast form. You know what I mean?
You know what's cool about this? Maybe you didn't watch Impact Live and you want to rewatch it on your DVR, and you want to listen to what we said. Cue up on your phone, YouTube, or the podcast and then sync them up at the same time.
Right. So patreon.com/comedianswrestling. And just, I don't know, while we're saying dates, December 20th, we're going to watch TLC together on the Cow Zoom Thunderdome at the $10 level on Patreon, which is always a fucking great time. Has made watching WWE pay-per-views for me in the pandemic era way more enjoyable. So everybody, we got a lot happening. Show your support. And we'll see you on Sunday. On the Patreon for the Winter War Games
extravagance.
And last thing is, thanks the first ever episode with the smooth operator, Bill Passapani. Thank you for doing what I've begged and urged to do for 20 years.
It's an honor to be here. It's an honor to be here.
I'm sure you're thrilled that it's 11 o'clock right now too.
I gotta edit this.
It's Friday night, baby.
Yeah, we're gonna. Don't worry. This was a special time, but we'll be.
Yeah. Anyway, everybody, thanks for listening to the podcast. And hey, everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Hugs.
Comedians of wrestling. I listen on Thursday when I go to work.